Hello and welcome to the Jeff and Jamie feed. We're so glad to have you here with us today. We're going into kind of a different place today because we're going to be talking about the meshing of food and entertainment.
I love it. I mean, we try to do that at the restaurants.
Oh, for sure.
And now other people are stealing our thunder.
I don't know that we invented that, Jeff, but yes, I think about that a lot. It's something that completely fascinates me, how the restaurant environment truly is like this theatrical experience.
It totally is. We teach our servers that. We make the spaces like that. Everything's incorporated into our dining experience. It is a sense of place. It is a special environment, and we got to, you know, make it cool.
Just because I had something in my new book, 11 Tables, about this exact topic, I brought a little excerpt to read.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear it.
Okay. All right. Eating and entertainment are meshing in the dining environment. Guests are there to eat, yes, but dining is also an interactive form of entertainment. The strategic, intentional creation we work toward is imperative for building out and maintaining relevant dining rooms. If we do it right, the guest's enjoyment is part of the act.
I love it.
Well, I feel
that
way
so
much.
It's really deep because you're kind of finishing on that the people dining are part of the characters.
Absolutely.
In the story.
Yeah, and they don't realize it. That's what's amazing. It's like reality television, like right in the Supperland dining room, you know? Which, by the way, I mean, that's another thing. I mean, we have actually had different television programs filming over there. We've had The Hunting Wives this year over there filming.
And they keep coming to eat, which is great.
And they keep coming
to
eat.
You guys are welcome anytime you want.
That's right. Absolutely. But let's talk about some of the things that we intentionally bring into the dining room to make it feel a little bit theatrical. I mean, we go to great lengths to make sure we have some of those touches.
Well, first, the lighting is perfect. You're welcome.
Oh, yeah. You are a lighting snob. We know that.
What else do we have?
Well, I mean, things there at the table. We always want to make sure. We don't want every single dish to have something like a pour over or dry ice or something like that. But we like that to be kind of intermixed into the dining experience.
My favorite of all the things that we do that has that like kind of special touch are the oysters at Supperland that we drop the ember from the fire into a tea kettle, a beautiful, lovely porcelain tea kettle. And we drop it in there and it smokes out the top. And we come over and we pour that over the oysters. It's so simple. There's nothing on those oysters besides a little bit of butter, a little salt in the butter, and that ember. And it is awesome, and it lights up the whole dining room as they walk by.
Well, it leaves this trail of smoke as you go, and so it's really hitting a lot of senses. You're seeing that. You're smelling it. You feel the warmth of fire and smoke as they walk by. I think that's a great example of it. But I remember when we were first developing that dish, I was worried that people would feel like it was too smoky.
Well, we didn't know that the hoods there are so incredible that you have all that fire and smoke and you get none of the smell, none of that at your seat. And so that's kind of like a way to bring that action to the people or the actors, as you would put it in the show.
The actors of our program every night. But there's even the simplest things. Some dishes we very intentionally choose to do a pour over at the table. So I think about a dish at Leluia Hall, the chicken. We do the pour over of the sauce right there at the table. And it's just meant to kind of create a little bit of interaction, get people's attention with the dish. And also sometimes there's the utilitarian purpose that we know it holds better and the dish will hold better if we pour at the table versus if we do it in advance.
Yes. You remember we went to a named 3-star place in New York City, and it was a pour over on every
single dish.
Single
that
dish.
Felt like a little bit too much.
Like
a very well known restaurant.
Fifth one, it was
there
like,
was like 10 courses.
Yeah.
And it
was
so
like four
pour-overs.
Or five courses in a row with a pour
so
over.
So sometimes it can be too much. So mixing it up where sometimes the guest pours, sometimes we pour, sometimes there's the ember butter, sometimes there's dry ice. Just mixing it up.
Yeah.
But I mean, that entertainment component, I think you also see it with social media. I mean, that's such a big part of our lives in trying to promote our restaurants and make sure people are coming to dine with us is through social media and entertainment that then has that layer showing up out there on screen.
Yeah, it's like we're not just putting liquid nitrogen in the fish tower at Leilui Hall for yourself as the actor enjoying the theater, but we're doing it for your friends too, so you can take a video and show it off.
Right. And so we get to see the smoking ember butter. We get to see that pour over. We get to see the cheese pull, whatever it is, again, online.
Yeah, and some of the things too are just when we bring that special thoughtful ingredient out, where you bring the olive oil that you pour over the chocolate sorbet at Everondolo. Yeah. You have amazing DOP olive oil. And it's like, no, we're pouring this at the table because it's super special. So take a picture of it and show your friends.
Absolutely. Well, and one final like entertainment thing that really comes to mind is how our servers and our front of house staff are kind of leading people through a coursed meal or a meal at any one of our restaurants. And I think mostly about Michael Klinger, the way, you know, he's a level 3 sommelier, just an incredible wealth of knowledge that he has. But it's not just that, it's the showmanship that he has, the way he pours, the way he speaks about wine. Now he was a theater major or drama major in college, and you can tell
his gestures and hand motion, and he also, you can tell that he's so passionate about it and loves wine.
Yeah.
Like absolutely loves it and just exuberant at the table. Yeah. It's great.
It is great. Well, today we are bringing on a guest who is a little bit unexpected because she is not in the restaurant world.
But she's one of my favorite people.
I know. She's just wonderful. So Kristen Miranda is going to be joining us today. And Kristen is a longtime WBTV news anchor. She, for many years, was an anchor there. And then she moved into lifestyle as well. And she has always been super supportive of the food scene, too, of Charlotte, bringing on chefs and restaurant owners to talk about their places and new things going on.
I think
she
just wanted to eat on set, but that's okay.
I love that about her.
Yeah,
smart,
either way.
Smart lady. Well, we're going to bring her on because she is with Bloom Studios, and they do a lot of immersive arts. And so we're going to be continuing to talk about entertainment and culinary and how those things have really kind of come together.
I love it. Let's get her in here.
Sounds good.
I am so excited to have Kristen
because
Miranda.
You get to welcome Kristen and I'll stop talking.
I am so happy to welcome her because she's welcomed me on her program many times. And you make everyone so comfortable on live TV. Like, you just make it flow and make it so easy. And it's really appreciated. This is live,
too.
Because
that can be scary. So
don't be nervous. You've only done it 10,000 times.
I'm usually asking the questions. So, you know, this is a little strange for me. But that is the biggest compliment anyone can give me, to be honest, because that's the goal, right? If you're inviting people into your home and asking them questions and asking them to cook or talk about their place, you want them to feel warm and welcome. So that's actually the biggest compliment.
It's like hospitality. I never thought about TV as being like hospitality, but it is.
It absolutely is. And the reality is you're going to get a better conversation out of them, right? Yeah. If they feel comfortable. So, thank you for saying that. I'm a big fan of you guys. I've been to every single one of your places. I can honestly say I've never been to this one at this hour.
8:30 a.m. Yeah. at Growler's Poorhouse. It's not a hot time to be here.
But it's still great. But I adore you guys. So I'm so honored to be here. Thank you for asking me.
Well, thank you for being here. And we're so excited because, you know, we've been kind of diving into and thinking a lot about, even in our life in general, about how entertainment and dining have really meshed together. And I feel like it might be a good starting point if you talk to us about the Blumenthal and how Bloom Studios fits in with that.
Yeah, so we are a performing arts center, but we're also so much more. And I think we've realized that some people don't love the idea of sitting in a theater for 2.5 hours while someone sings at you. I mean, I love it, but some people don't.
But those people.
Some people don't. And so
I'm not one of those.
You don't
except
like to be
operas.
Sung at?
He hates operas. I don't really
I don't like the the tragedy
operas.
Opera's tough.
I mean, it's beautiful.
I'm so Italian, though, that you think
it would be in my blood. Mm-hmm. Here we go. It is not. He gets sad afterwards.
It is. Yeah. It can be an emotional roller coaster for sure. Yeah. But we know that some people don't love it. So we opened Bloom Studios a couple of years ago to give an alternative, something that could be more interactive, more immersive. We use the word immersive a lot. And it in the beginning meant something very specific. Now it's so many things. But it's a huge 32,000 square foot warehouse over on Moorhead Street. It's on the property of Charlotte Pipe and Foundry, which is now the Iron District. It's going to be a massive mixed use development area eventually. Mm-hmm. But we're really proud to be the first tenants there. And
you,
we
you
use
guys
that.
Should be proud because what you've, yeah. I mean, we've been to some of your things over there. The space station immersive thing yeah. was so cool. We
Our
took the kids
loved
to that.
It too.
And that's one of the most memorable things I've done in Charlotte.
And but then Monopoly.
Monopoly was an absolute blast.
Mm-hmm. We went for our son's birthday with just a friend of his. I literally felt like I was on a game show. It was so fun.
We didn't win because we kept sabotaging each other. So
yeah.
this other group won. It wasn't right.
They think they won. But you guys won.
We really were the winners.
It is, you know, that's the neat thing about it. Every time you go to Bloom Studios, our intention is that it will be something different. It will always surprise you. It will always delight you. And it will always be new. Good.
Yes. It was so cool.
I love that you came to both of those. Those are two really great ones.
They're great. How do you guys go about, like, actually curating those experiences?
It's a really cool process, to be honest. All of those experiences are coming to us from other countries, which is really cool. Right now we have something playing at Bloom Studios called The Magician's Table, mm-hmm. and that came to us directly from London. We were their first stop outside of London.
Awesome. And we wanted to talk more about that one because that one is, it's at a table. This is what we do. You got some people eating, drinking, a magician stopping by. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. So it's so funny that you're talking about this too, because this is a conversation that we are having internally because of hospitality being a show. And I just talked to our food and beverage director the other day about another thing that we recently did called Import Taste, which I'll tell you about in a second. But she was saying the same thing. Hospitality is a show. Mm-hmm. And so we're obviously perfectly primed and positioned to do that. So Magician's Table came directly from London. I saw it in London. Unbelievable. It's a full night experience. You get there an hour before the show starts. There's a cocktail experience with super high-end cocktails, and the magicians are roaming around in that space and talking to you and performing small tricks and asking you questions. And then you move into the entertainment space where there are tables of small tables, 10, 12, something like that. I think 10. And you get up-close magic all night long.
Oh,
mixed
wow.
in with these collective community group tricks. And it's an experience like nothing else.
Oh, it's so neat. I love that.
That's really cool.
That sounds really cool.
That's so much. So, I had asked, so you saw that in London. Is uh-huh. that, so curating
that
these
tough
things.
Trip.
It was tough. It was really, terrible.
Grueling,
this job
grueling
of mine.
Work she does.
Our CEO travels all over the world, and he is very plugged in what's happening both in this country on Broadway. He's a lifetime Tony voter. He's, he knows Broadway like the back of his hand. He travels all over the world and he sees these immersive experiences. He goes to the UK, he goes to Spain, he goes all over the place and finds the best of the best. And then in many cases, not all, but in many cases, will invest in those shows so that he can learn and take those things other places, primarily here. And so that Charlotte audiences can experience some things that are happening in Europe that aren't happening in the US.
Is that unique to Charlotte? So why are we lucky to have him and this thing, this whole organization here?
I think people don't realize how lucky Charlotte is.
I didn't know that.
To have him. I mean, truly, it's his breadth of experience.
What's his name?
Tom Gabbard is our CEO. He's been here for more than 20 years. And he is so plugged in and has fallen in love with Charlotte. And he and his wife, Vicky, are lovely. And they are just committed to this community and doing something here that no other performing arts center is doing in this country. So we're really lucky.
Wasn't he in the Sunday newsletter yesterday?
He was in the Charlotte Optimist yesterday.
In the Charlotte Optimist yesterday. Yeah.
Michael Graff did a whole story.
So cool. That's why when you're like saying his name, I'm like,
I know Tom Gabbard. He's all over the Charlotte arts scene for sure. So do you get to go on some of these trips?
Well, some of them. I would like to weasel my way into a few more because
you just went to New York.
Right? I did just go to New York. We're getting ready on April 20th to announce our new Broadway season for next year.
Okay.
And so last year we did a big TV special to announce the season, And this year we're doing a new one. And so we went and we interviewed Tony winning directors and unbelievable creatives. I'm spoiled.
That's so cool.
I feel really spoiled.
You are spoiled. I agree. But so when you go out to eat or you're doing different experiences, do you always have that thinking cap on of like, how do we bring this to life at Bloom?
Yeah. And it's funny. I think I wear a couple hats, right? Because I come to your places and I'm like, oh, I wish I could ask them about this dish. I wish I could ask them about this experience or what it was like to open this restaurant, right? And I do that with all of the restaurants in town. But then I also think about the show. So when you were talking about the pour-overs, I went to a place recently in Atlanta, and it was so theatrical. Mm. And that's when I pulled out the phone, yes. Right? Those moments, that's when I pulled out the phone, because there's action, there's movement, mm-hmm. but then also it's a story in and of itself. Yes. So I am absolutely thinking about that. I'll always be a storyteller in that way.
Yeah, I love that. So tell us a little bit more about In Poor Taste, too, because that one, it was here and then gone.
Yeah.
But is it going to come back?
It was here for 2 weeks.
Okay.
And it was a very successful 2 weeks. People absolutely loved it. It was a comedy wine tasting experience. Two comedians from Australia put this show together. So, again, international talent coming to Bloom Studios. It's very irreverent. It's very saucy and sassy, and very funny. But what the cool thing...
I could just imagine making fun of sommeliers all night.
So it is.
Love you, Michael, but it would be really fun.
I love you too, Michael. It does take the pretense out of wine tasting, right? Mm. But the cool thing that they do when they go city to city is they hire local sommeliers. And so
awesome.
We had a series of local sommeliers that were part of the show. So while the comedians were teasing and taunting, right, the sommeliers were there to say, okay, but here's really the deal. Like, here's what you are tasting. And in a comfortable way. So we probably had, I don't even know, half a dozen, maybe more, local folks that we were able to hire to be a part of the show.
That's so cool.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Do they like rehearse to do that kind of thing? Or how do they actually become a part of it without... Do they practice?
They have an idea of what the show will be. Okay. They have conversations with the comedians. But because it's very off the cuff, it's kind of a different show every night, right?
That's
and so we talked to one of them from another well-known restaurant here in town. And he was saying he just kind of showed up and went along for the ride and was able to use his knowledge, his deep knowledge.
Is there any food or it is just... wine tasting?
We don't have an in-house kitchen. We don't have any of that. So we've started to do smaller things like charcuterie for that experience because there's a lot of wine in that experience. So we want people to be able to have something to fill their bellies. We do have food here and there, but for that, the charcuterie was really, really popular. And I know our food and beverage director sort of was like, what more can we do in this vein?
Yep, absolutely.
Well, we're building a commissary, so just let us know next year.
Actually, it wouldn't be far from you guys.
It would not be far.
So we can keep that in mind.
I like
there
that.
There we go. And we have sommeliers.
You do. You absolutely do.
Yeah.
So what go ahead.
I heard that there was some sort of BS, like, button, too.
Bell.
The BS bell.
BS bell.
Yes.
Yeah, tell me about that. That sounds so fun.
It is really, really fun. It's they hand it to someone during the show who can call BS on anything that they are hearing during the show. And then it turned out that, like, they sell them after the show and people buy them like crazy. So now all over Charlotte, there are people with BS bells probably in their offices.
Yeah, probably.
Thanks to In Poor Taste. Yeah.
That's incredible. Yeah.
So
I love it.
What do you guys think it is about, like, the whole, you know, meshing of food and entertainment? Is that a new thing? Is that something that's been going on? And what are you saying? Is this a trend that's all over the world, just in the U.S.? Like, what are you seeing? And what is it about that?
My experience internationally is pretty limited, but the things that I did see that were immersive experiences that were happening in the U.K., there's always some sort of food aspect. Now, is it always the most delicious food? No. At Blumenthal, we're very, very proud of our cocktail program and how elevated and delicious those things are. And so people are coming and they're really surprised by how much they're experiencing in that cocktail hour before Magician's Table. Really, really excited about that. I do think that when you are bringing people in for a good 2 or 3 hours for an experience, whatever you can provide them in that way is really important. So I've been to immersive experiences that had really yummy food, and I've been to those that had really bad pizza, right?
Right.
So you, I don't think you want to be the really bad pizza. Mm-hmm. You want to be closer to the really yummy food.
It's so much easier portability wise to crush the beverage side of things. Yeah. Whenever we get asked to do real like tough events in the middle of nowhere, or even, you know, Charleston Food and Wine, I am like, we will rock out the cocktail.
That's what we're gonna do.
Yeah, and it's so there's so much less stress. But you can put 17 ingredients and put just as much thought and love into that cocktail, but not worry about having to cook and have it go bad.
And you know, then people are having a good time. They feel relaxed. They're really enjoying the show. We do have in-house catering. Not in-house. We do have a caterer that we use typically at Bloom Studios. And we do find that people are renting that space for corporate events or pre-show events, things like that, which is totally possible. And then they can, you know, work with our caterer and do that.
Yeah. So do you think this stuff is new? Is this a new trend, or has this been going on, or is it like people have more leisure time, or food is such a big part?
Since the 1900s.
People have been eating since the dawn of time.
Since the dawn of time. that blending of it.
It does. It's certainly new to Charlotte when we talk about the arts and food and drink in that way.
Well, wasn't there a play a long time ago where they fed you spaghetti in...
Veggie spaghetti.
And we might
around.
Be bringing that to Charlotte.
It was like a wedding.
Yes, it's on the tip of my tongue. And people listening are like screaming it at their whatever device.
It's not Mamma Mia.
Tony and Tina's wedding or whatever
Tony
it is.
Yeah, Tony and Tina's wedding.
And listen, dinner theater is not new,
no,
right?
That was, you know, boxed pasta and sauce. So
not
it was
delicious.
Not the greatest, but they tried and they did it and they put it in the show.
Well, it also makes me think about some movie theaters that got real into food and drink, where you'd have like a whole like nice table there where you could eat. But I don't know that those really took off.
Well, I think part of that too, for me as a patron of a movie theater like that, again, not great pizza, right? Or whatever it was. And then the experience, because it's dark, because it's... You don't know, is it clean? Is it, you know, all of those things that kind of go into your mind about the experience as a whole. I think with dinner theater, historically, you're there for the show, you get a little food. We did a dinner theater experience last year, and it was super successful. The food was great. Like, I think you have to do it right in order for it to work.
Yeah.
You have to have it be elevated.
Unless, like, I'm also thinking about... the Renaissance Festival,
yes.
Wherein there's a lot of street performances and people are walking around with a turkey leg.
Right.
That kind of makes me happy. Like, I like that. Like, that's probably days of old, right?
Yeah.
That, you know, those kinds of ideas.
I think some of the, you know, you just talked about going to New York, but I mean, for me, I have nights out in New York that, you know, maybe I'm going to the U.S. Open one night. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm going to the theater, and maybe, though, that my night out is spending a few hundred dollars a person on a really unbelievable coursed meal. And that is the entertainment. That's what you're doing. It's a, you know, a 3-hour, 3.5-hour experience.
I get really excited about that experience. Like, I can't believe I'm going to this restaurant tonight. And I look at the menu ahead of time. And so I'm previewing my night out, right? I'm thinking about my experience, just like I would a theatrical experience. Mm-hmm. I'm reading the bios of the actors that I'll see on stage and getting excited about it before I go. So I do think forever, dinner and theater, dinner and immersive experiences will be linked. There's no doubt about it. If you can do it in the same room, great.
And that's where I say, if you're going to spend $300 on a ticket, why not spend $300 on dinner?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Plus, you get a conversation during dinner, right?
Plus, you get a conversation. And this all makes me think, too, about the speakeasy over at Supperland.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a very unique experience that we put out. It's maybe not so theatrical, but there are definitely theatrical elements. I mean, what Colleen does to that room when we have it as a holiday experience, it is like you walk in. This past year, we did it around Buddy the Elf. And so you walk in and you are like, whoa, what? Like, Christmas threw up in the Supperland speakeasy.
And all the bartenders are wearing these ugly sweaters and dressed like elves. And it's awesome.
It's really fun. And yeah, like over the fall, we did, there was a drink I remember that had like a cauldron like feel. And they would lift up the alcohol.
As it's lit on fire.
Yeah, it's lit on fire.
Dripping down the orange peel.
How did I miss that?
I don't know. But yes, have you been to the speakeasy? Yet? You may not have been yet.
I don't think I've been
okay,
in the speakeasy.
So
I've been to the restaurant.
Yeah. We need to have you down there sometimes. We're we're kind of doing, we've cut back on doing quite so many of the speakeasy experiences just because they're super high labor to put those out. And there's a lot of R&D that we have to do for drinks and then the food that's paired with it. But we're doing, like, a lot of times in our off weeks, we do supper in the speakeasy. People can just get a reservation and dine down there, which is nice. But these experiences, they're doing like four a year now.
Yeah, it's four cocktails, and we do the theme. And Colleen comes up with four cocktails, and then the chefs pair the food to the cocktails. So we're doing it backwards from every other tasting menu that's chef driven, and it's like the cocktails are so thoughtful and so incredible, and then the food ends up like they have to keep up, right? So the chefs are working so hard to match that food up, and it's a really cool experience.
See,
and
you guys always turn it on its head. I love that.
It is fun. It just takes that theater component up to a different
and
level.
People
but
have dressed
group.
Up. They've dressed up, you know, like Star Wars characters or Harry Potter characters, and really enjoyed, you know, things going on down there.
And we see that a lot, too. People will come see Six, the musical, and they'll be dressed as their favorite queen. Or they'll come to, you know, whatever it may be, Tina, and they're dressed, you know, in a Tina Turner, like, fringy outfit.
Fine.
I think the fun thing for us, now that we're doing more of this immersive, is exactly what you're talking about. When you walk into a room, you feel like you're transported, right? So if you're transported to Buddy the Elf's world, for us, it's being transported to the Magician's Table world. So we have an artist who really curates and creates these experiences. And so as soon as you walk into the Magician's Table, you feel like you're in this cool, chic, dark magician's world from the very moment you arrive. And that starts the performance, even though you're an hour from the performance.
I love that at Harry Potter in New York on Broadway is when you get to the theater, you're like...
You're already in
Harry Potter world from the second you walk in the door.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty cool.
They do a cool thing at intermission during the Harry Potter show in New York. Did you notice it? Did you go out into the lobby during intermission?
What was it?
I don't want to blow it for anybody who might listen. Okay. But they take that to the next level. I was getting so much trouble. But they take it to the next level. And there's a change between the beginning of the show and intermission that happens in the lobby that's so cool. I mean, it's that whole...
I do remember.
Do you remember? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I do, but now I can't say.
You can't.
You'll have to tell me later.
Or do I actually not remember? And I just can pretend. No, but I do remember. I'll tell you after,
yeah,
Jeff.
Yeah, we'll talk about it after.
Sounds good.
So what's new and coming up for you guys over there? I mean, you're so thoughtful about what's coming in, whether it's, you know, food and drink related or anything else. What's coming up for you guys at Bloom?
I think there will always be now a food and drink aspect, right?
Those are selling well, too, then.
They are. Okay. Yeah, they are. And
because we've found at the speakeasy that nothing transports you better than four or five drinks.
I mean, that helps. It definitely helps. You suddenly feel very in the moment.
Yeah.
No, we really, I mean, it's important to us. We think about... Because we change things all the time at Bloom Studios and the setup is different on the inside. You saw it when you came for the Infinite, the space experience. The setup was completely different than when you came for Monopoly, right? And so we have to move things around. We move the bar. We move concessions. We move stuff all the time. And so we'll always have that there. I think the things that are coming to Bloom Studios lean in on some of that you've seen already. We're going to do another VR experience.
Okay.
This one I think will stay a little bit longer and will be something that families can go to, that you could do a date night at, that'll be a different experience if you go back a couple of times. So we're really excited about that. But that experience itself doesn't take up a lot of space. And so what are we going to do with the rest of the building to kind of lean in on that? And that's where we're excited to see where that goes next.
Oh, cool. I'm so excited.
All right.
Yeah. I'm so excited. But I love that you're going to continue with food and drink. It says that that's working.
It's working. And we just want people to have the full experience, right? It is a show. It's all a show. And it's all really important to us. For us, and it's the same for you, the guest experience is top of our minds all the time, from when you buy your ticket and how you buy your ticket, all the way through the end of the show and how you get out of the parking deck, right? We're thinking about those things all of the time because we want people to walk away and say, every time I go to anything at Blumenthal Arts, it's an unbelievable experience. The people are so nice. Like, that's our goal. That's our goal. And I know it's yours, too.
And I think, too, the time that theatrical, you know, things are at, or even Hornets games, they're at 7 o'clock, and it's hard to get a meal beforehand, or and you're not really going for dinner at 9:30 these days.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. We've
so
changed.
So just having it be a part of what you guys do, I think is a huge.
It is. And we know people don't want to go to dinner at 9:30 anymore. So we've even like changed our start times of some of our shows. We're seeing people want to come a little bit earlier. We have wonderful supporters and donors for Blumenthal Arts. And we have something called our Founders Room. You guys have been in our Founders Room, I think.
Yes, we have.
And it's this beautiful kind of like Art Deco-y lounge where we have a bar and a great bartender, JP, is the best. But we also have snacks and things for art so that you can come there. You can not go into the show on an empty stomach. You can come in at intermission, get a little snack, have a little chocolate because some people need that halfway through.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, in different ways, food and beverage are certainly a part of everything that we do and always will be.
Do you think at, you know, I think of like the Blumenthal itself as being a much more formal environment and everything. Do you think in the future there will be a little bit of that blending in there too, where it becomes like food becomes a part of the experience? Or, I mean, I don't know. I can't think how you could do that with because the crowds are also so large. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's one of the benefits of like the Magician's Table is that it's a small crowd. You can really curate that experience for that small group.
It is.
It's probably tough for a big group.
It can be. I mean, there are, not that I'm saying that we're doing this. Don't get nervous, Tom. But there are performing arts centers that have ballrooms where they do their own, they have their own kitchen staff and they do all of that. I think, you know, I don't know that we'll see that here, but I do think having an element of food involved all the time is important too. I know our food and beverage director and Tom is always looking to make that guest experience even better. So who knows where it goes down the road. I do think Bloom Studios lends to that a little bit more because of the slightly more casual nature of it.
For sure.
You can go, you can sit down at a table. And, you know, Bloom Studios is open even when there isn't, like, a show happening, right? It's a community space. And so people will go in and they'll play games in the lobby or
we
they'll sit
outside.
We saw that
at Monopoly. They're just
that.
People just hanging out and playing games. And
yeah, that large Jenga and, like, Foursquare. Or no.
Lots of things for the kids.
Connect Four. Yeah. Totally, yeah.
Yeah.
And we have other events there all the time that rent the space and do huge events. So we're trying to make it a community gathering space. Mm-hmm. And with that, you're always going to have food. We've had food trucks out there, all of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been so incredibly fun. Like, it's just a fun topic.
Always and just the best.
Aww.
Like, just so nice.
You guys are too nice to me. That's very kind.
Well, you make it, you really do make it so easy for everybody.
You're very sweet. You're very sweet. I think that there's something that we all can do together, and I don't know what that is yet.
We've talked.
We're
Kristen
working on
and I
it.
Have had lunch before, and we've talked about some things. What could we do that would be fun?
It's,
you got any
great.
Ideas,
we
Jeff?
We don't
before
have enough
we...
going on.
No,
so
you
that
don't.
Sounds, that sounds
That's
great.
The other
would
thing. How are you? How? How? You also
I knew
have
she'd
a
turn
family.
It on us like it's her
she did.
Turn to
She's,
ask
a She's a reporter. She's a reporter. She's used to asking questions.
Really though, how are you? I mean, family, restaurants, bars, book, podcast, PBS show. How are you? How?
Well, you're seeing the podcast. Jamie's already written her book.
That's done.
You still have to promote it, girl. You got to get other people to read it.
It's a thing, isn't it? It is a thing.
She's already an
but
Amazon
as you
bestseller.
Can see,
I love it.
If you look around, like we have people in this room. And that's just for this podcast. When we go to, you know, in our restaurants, like you walk in the doors, you a lot of times won't see us. You know, it's because we've got these incredible people who are there actually orchestrating all of the
mostly
the restaurants.
To nobody lets me do anything anymore because they know they do it better than I do. So really, I don't have much to do because
Jeff
I,
is getting I, very good at
so
delegating.
Limited. Yeah,
Jeff's in New York. Let's do all the things.
So limited in ability.
Yes, that's
I don't
right.
think that's true. I think you are the ducks with the smooth on top and the feet going crazy into the water. That's what I think
like
you guys are.
I like it.
Well, we're so excited to see what comes next to Bloom Studios because we have loved the experiences that we've had. And if you all haven't checked it out, please make sure you do. What's the website, the best one to go to?
Blumenthalarts.org is our website. That will get you to everything that is performance related, whether it's in our theaters. We have 4 Uptown theaters or Bloom Studios. And if you are buying tickets, make sure you only buy them at Blumenthalarts.org. That's the safest and the best place to buy them.
Okay, great. Well, we hope to see you guys there at Bloom Studios sometime. We love those experiences and cannot thank you enough for all the support over the years and then also for coming here to chat with us today.
I'm so honored you asked me. Thank you very much.
Thank
You're welcome.
You, Kristen. Wow. That was so much fun. Kristen is, she's just unbelievable on the mic and just to hang out with. I love it. But as I look back over the last 2 years, some of the most memorable experiences we've had have been with Blumenthal, going to Hamilton,
yes,
doing Monopoly, doing the space station. Just incredible things going on there.
Oh, absolutely. I think one of my biggest takeaways from that conversation is that they think about their experiences similar to how we think about ours. You know, we're trying to be very thoughtful about every single touch point and every single moment that someone is within our borders. And, you know, I think sometimes we don't think about this part, but she is thinking about that place where when they arrive to park and then walking in and then being greeted, of course, like we kind of meet them at the door, but thinking about that piece kind of getting to the building.
Just think about how nice their ticket takers are. And if you don't have their tickets, they'll print them out for you and do all those things. And think about the subtle change from, 10 years ago of where they're not snooty anymore. They let you drink in your seat.
Yes.
Right? Like
with a covered cup, maybe.
Like they are trying to be as efficient as possible at the break, halftime, and get your drink and, get back out to your seat.
Yeah, make sure everybody is enjoying their experience to the utmost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think, we certainly want people to do that as well, and we're always thinking about that, but it's so interesting to see how that really impacts other industries, too, how they have to be just as thoughtful because people are spending time and a lot of money. And it's the same thing with us. When you go to dine at any of our restaurants, it's not cheap to eat out anymore,
No.
Unless you're just grabbing a sandwich and running out the door. But it's not cheap. And so they're spending, those hours with you and the money with you. And so making sure that every single moment is really thoughtful.
I love it. Well, that was fun.
Yes. Well, and you, Mr. Hospitality, I know that stuff that you care about. So,
it is.
Well, yes, it was a treat having Kristen on. And if you all would just like, comment, please share. We would love to hear from you guys, too. And thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one.